in this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast. We're just going to kind of wing it because we did a couple of episodes on sports and pressure and mental health because of the Simone Biles and the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to Matt before we started the last recording that I had some issues, a couple of rants about the Olympics. But so I'm going to hit on those because I don't want to start in our new topic because I want to cover these. So, so it'll be kind of casual, but things that I've noticed, some observations and things maybe I'm not really happy about. Not that that matters. Not that I have any control, like I'm on the Olympic Commission or anything.
So is this the opinion episode?
It is. It's the opinion episode, and maybe point some things out. If anybody's been following, if you're not following the Olympics at all and you're not a fan, some things have come up that have caused some controversy. Let's say so. We'll dabble in those and talk about it. And I mean, it's applicable because.
Here we are.
There's a double standard with a lot of things. Let's say that.
You don't say.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What double-edged sword?
And as usual, we're giving away a bunch of free stuff. And in fact, I'm off the cuff. I'll give away a free book today, too. We'll talk about it.
Really?
Hang in there.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Welcome back, sir.
We're here in the Palatial Podcast Detroit Southfield Studios. With me is Matt Fox, as always.
David, good to
see
you.
As usual, good to see you, my friend.
Yes, good to see you as well.
Cheers to you. We're just having a good Friday evening here, recording and...
It's the weekend.
Talking and having fun and...
So you have
just enjoying ourselves.
We have a lot to talk about.
We do. We have a lot going on.
What are your plans for the weekend, real quick?
Honestly, I get a haircut tomorrow.
Oh.
That's one plan for 9 a.m. in the morning. typically, I have guitar lessons on Saturday mornings.
You're still playing the guitar.
I'm still playing the
guitar.
We
haven't talked about that.
We haven't in a long time. I'm not going to do any Jimi Hendrix or Eric Clapton impersonations anytime soon.
B.B. King is all right.
But I can get through a couple of tunes. Let's say that.
Good for you, man. You know, I'm glad you're still doing that.
Probably at 3/4 speed, right. I have no idea if my guitar teacher listens. His name's Jason. He's not an old guy. He's probably in his 30s. He got COVID.
Poor guy.
So he's probably going to be out this week, but shout out to him. Like I said, he knows about the podcast, but I have no idea if he listens or not, but my best out to him.
All right.
Other than that, I don't have a lot of plans. I'm sure, my better half Kendra does.
I'm sure she's got
some plans for my weekend.
I'm sure the honey-do list is getting longer and longer as time goes on.
Actually not that bad. I usually get to work on things that I like to do. Right. Sometimes, things that have to be done, but
that's fair.
Yeah. How about you? What are you?
Oh, I got two weddings.
Oh, no, that's right. You got two gigs going on.
I got two weddings to play this weekend.
For those of you who might be new, Matt is he works in finance, but he's also a DJ.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that for a long time. So if you need a good DJ.
I've been DJing since 1994, so I started when I was two. I say that very tongue in cheek. No, it's just a busy weekend. You know, things, this whole COVIDian timeline we've been living in.
Oh, good for you.
It's that industry is picking up a little bit. So to have back-to-back weddings for the first time in a year and a half to almost 2 years, it's nice.
No, it's nice. And who knows? We might go backwards before we go forward again. But there are more things happening. Let's say that. Yep.
So, but in all honesty, it's a busy weekend. But I want to know where people can find you?
You know where they can find me?
On
well, right
media?
Now, you can find me in the Palatial Southfield Studios at this moment, but you can find me on my website, MotorCityHypnotist.com. There you will find all my cool stuff, including my podcast page, my Motor City Hypnotist Academy page, and I'm going to touch on that in a moment coming up. And all kinds of cool stuff. You can see clips of old shows. And in fact, again, we're in this kind of COVID no man's land here. Where is it getting better? Is it getting going to move forward, or are we stalling for a little bit? But but if you want a hypnosis show, if you want an hour and a half of just laughing and having fun and a good time, and,
yeah,
contact me.
Book a man.
Show.
Book this guy.
Because I've done shows from, you know, Las Vegas to Atlanta, North Dakota to Florida. I've been all over the country.
There won't be any penis jokes.
There could be. It depends if you want an adult show or not. And I will preface this by saying I do a lot of shows for a lot of different age groups. I do a lot of post-prom and grad night shows for high schools, which, of course, are totally G-rated.
Good.
I should say PG-rated. You know, nothing questionable.
The crap that's on TV right now.
Yeah.
You could be G rated.
And I will say, and I'm going to toot my own horn here for a minute. There are many hypnotists out there who don't understand the concept of age range as far as shows go.
Right.
And they've done some questionable things.
May not be suitable for children.
Not suitable for teenagers, let's say.
Right.
Even college age. I'm very careful with my college age shows. I don't do anything that's questionable. Now, if you have all adults and you want an adult rated show, those are a blast as well.
Of course.
So, yeah. Look, my website. I'll tell you where you can find me. MotorCityHypnotist.com.
Bring it.
That's it. Go there, look at my contact page, send me a message, what you're looking for, and we can make it happen. You can find me on social media, on Facebook and YouTube, which are both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Twitter and Instagram, which are both Motor City Hypno. And as usual, we're giving away a free hypnosis guide, which is available on every single episode we do. Yours totally free. It's just a PDF explaining the basics of hypnosis, what it is, how it works, myths and misconceptions, and you can just download that for free. It's always in the show notes. And this episode is brought to you by my new book,
Yay.
Empower Your Mind for Success, A Hypnotic Guide, How to Rewire Your Thinking for Massive Success. It is out as of today is the 6th of August when we're recording this. You might not hear it for a week or two or a little bit out, a couple of dates away, but is on Amazon right now as of August 6th, 2021.
Go get it.
Look it up. You can get Kindle or paperback version. If by chance you wanted to order it from your bookstore, that is in the process.
Yes.
Ingram Spark is they handle all the distribution for bookstores around the world. Mm-hmm. It will be available there as soon as I can get that upload fixed. but in the meantime, yes, you can find it on Amazon. The link for the book will be in the show notes as well, so you can find it there. And I would appreciate, of course, I want you to buy it. Kindle version is $4.99. Paperback version is $9.99, so not expensive. The book's right around 140 pages, not overwhelming, but you know, something you could probably get through on an air on a flight.
Yeah,
you know,
easily.
Yeah, and not heavy reading either. Very manageable. But yeah, pick it up. And if you do, I would very much appreciate a review on Amazon. Reviews on Amazon really get me more visibility, help sales numbers, and just again gets me more. More people,
yeah,
which is the whole idea.
Yep, that you know, people can find you anywhere,
pretty much,
which is great.
Yeah,
how are they? How can they find David Wright, the person, when it comes to his hypnosis?
As far as booking sessions,
yes,
I would say go to my website. There's a phone number there on my website. That number goes right to our clinic. Counseling and Therapy Associates, which is the one I am the owner and clinical director of, that's where you would book appointments.
All right, fair.
Now, if you wanted something very specific, like I can do appearances as well, other than just like hypnosis, like clinical hypnosis sessions. Mm-hmm. Say that you're a sports team. Maybe you have maybe you're a coach. Maybe you're a manager of a team. We just talked for a couple of sessions about the Olympics and stress and how that affects people and how the mental aspect of sports plays in. Maybe you're a administrator or coach or manager, and you want them to come in and talk to your team. I could do that. I can make appearances at corporations if you need somebody as a, you know, a speaker for either motivation or stress relief or if you're involved in the HR end of things or the health side of things,
the wellness piece.
I can come in and do a wellness talk about smoking cessation or weight loss or things that could help you.
So it's not just about hypnosis. Oh, gosh. This is about
it's really just say like self-improvement or self-improvement and just, you know, making yourselves better. And so, all kinds of things.
And that's a lot about your book.
It is. Yeah. A lot of it is just really the whole idea of the book, which has been, you know, rattling around in my head, is just a lot of people struggle with just getting to where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And success is a very vague term, because what does that mean?
Right.
What does success mean to you? Only you know.
Right. Could it be
I can't determine if you're successful. Only you can.
Right. Could it be recognition? Could it be monetarily?
Yep. Could it be emotionally? Right. Could it be mentally? And so success is different for every person, but most people don't experience that because it's not because you don't lack the skill or the time or the money. All of that, honestly, is secondary to how you think.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee every successful person thinks differently than those who are not. And that's what the book covers. It covers how your embedded, ingrained thinking patterns have prevented you from being successful and moving forward.
Right.
And making it happen.
Well, thank you for all that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your work.
Yeah, I'm right there. So, and if as far as the podcast goes, if you're listening to the podcast, please, wherever you're listening, please leave a review, connect, like, follow, download, whatever the thing is, connect to it so that you get my podcast every time it releases right in your feed, and you don't have to look for it. And also leave a review. That would be greatly appreciated as well. And as far as the book goes, please leave a review on Amazon for that, because that gets me more people and more looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for Winner of the Week.
That's how winning is done.
All right, here we go.
All right. This is just, in some ways, this is an awful story. And you know, typically a lot of these good news things that we talk about or these nice things happen because somebody else was an a-hole.
Okay, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Remember the one a while back where this guy stole their kid's hot dog stand?
Yes.
This guy was trying to teach his kids to be entrepreneurs and go into business.
Yes.
And their hot dog stand gets stolen. This is the same type of thing.
Okay.
Thief steals 9-year-old twins' lemonade stand tip jar.
What a dick.
Yes. So police and community step in. So I'm just so disgusted by people sometimes. It's just like, really? Not that it's ever right to steal, but this wasn't a tip jar at a Starbucks or at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He's from 9-year-old twins
right.
on a lemonade stand.
On the side of the road.
Right.
And they're just trying to have some fun.
Asshole. So a police force and neighborhood turned a sour moment into a sweet opportunity for two young entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Twins Caitlin and Elias Smith, S-M-I-D-T.
Brother and sister twins.
Yes. Both nine years old, were running their lemonade stand as usual on Monday, but their beverage operation was interrupted when an unknown passerby reportedly stopped her car and grabbed their tip jar before she fled the scene. This jackass of a woman.
Was it?
I have many other words that I just want to blurt out right now.
Oh
my goodness!
Great Odin's Raven.
Does it say where were these kids from? Where did this happen? Does it say what state? If not, that's okay.
It's in Iowa.
Okay.
Yep, Ames, Iowa.
All right.
The Smith family called the Ames Police Department in Iowa to report the theft, but they had no idea local officers in their community would rally to help Caitlin and Elias make up their loss.
All right.
Behind the scenes, Ames officer Selena Rowland reportedly notified colleagues and fellow first responders about the stolen tip jar. In less than 24 hours, several officers, firefighters stopped by the lemonade stand to order some fresh cups. Officer Rowland and the first responders of our community changed the tides when they showed up to show their support after the robbery, Caitlin and Elias' mother, Karen Smith, told Fox News. Our kids went from scared and unsure how to trust the next person to wide-eyed, smiling, and excited to serve them lemonade. Mm. According to Smith, many of the first responders who stopped by the stand came from the Ames Police Department, Iowa State University Police Department, Story County Sheriff's Office, and Ames Fire Department.
Wow.
The street was filled with police cars and fire trucks and a whole lot of smiles, she said.
I dare that person to drive down that street
again. Oh, my gosh. An investigation into the theft is still in progress, according to Smith. Life is never without hard parts, Smith said. The way our community has showed up has absolutely given our kids something they will remember for a lifetime. Yeah.
That's amazing that the community, the fire department, the police department, they all came to support 9-year old kids.
Well, think about this. You're 9 years old. You're just having fun running a lemonade stand, and some dickhead comes and steals your tip jar and steals money from you. So here's the thing. And I like that, and the mother pointed it out in so many words here. Mm-hmm. If that would have happened and nothing else happened from it, these kids would have been so jaded for the rest of their lives.
Not wrong.
I mean,
mom knows best, honestly. Mom knows her kids
best. But the
best.
Fact that, okay, you see one degenerate who ruins these kids' livelihood, or it's not their livelihood, just but you know what I mean, their business.
Yeah.
But then you have all these other people step in to say, that's not what we're about.
Right.
We're here to help and support. And that's the great thing, that even though it's pretty shitty, that's these other people are like, we're going to make it better.
It takes a village.
Yep.
It really does.
It does.
You know, to help change the perception of what the, you know, neighbors are really like, the community is really like. And kids, even at 9 years old, Dave, are very, they're connected. They're so much more connected now than they were when we were.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's why you really have to re-engage those kids as quickly as possible.
Yep. And the fact that they saw that response almost immediately.
Right.
It's like, oh, there are good people.
Yeah.
There are good, you know, there are positive. There are great things that can happen.
Correct.
Yeah. So anyway, to all the people involved, it's not a great story, but it ended up being a great story.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Bam.
That's how winning is done.
That's actually as much as we really go through a lot of great news stories with the winner of the week.
Yeah,
that is still a great story because it just really, really reinforces community.
Yep,
really does.
Yeah, it just people caring. I mean, because honestly, I'm sure these first responders and firefighters had better things. I shouldn't say better things. I'm sure they had things they had to do, but they're like, no, we're going to go make this right.
Yeah.
And that just makes you feel great. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, folks, we've been talking the last couple of episodes about sports, specifically Olympics and stress and how that affects athletes. And then we kind of also kind of moved it into the realm of, even if you're not an athlete, you can experience those same types of stressors, those things that make you feel like you have to be perfect and have to succeed or perform, all of the things that put pressure on yourself, and also the pressure from outside as well to do what you're supposed to do. So that was focused on the Olympics. So if you didn't hear those episodes, hop back a couple and you can hear the whole discussion on sports and stress and how that can affect you even in your layman's life, whatever that is.
Right.
So I'm just going to hit on some random things as I watch the Olympics. And some of you may or may not have any interest in the Olympics. That's cool. But there are a couple of things that I've noticed, probably more so than past times, and maybe they've been there, but maybe not as public or not as mm-hmm. pronounced or not as apparent.
You had said you want to go off on a tangent, and I want to let you go. You take your time. You just do what you're going to do. I'm not going to hold you back.
So this Olympics has brought up quite a bit of controversy in a couple of different areas. So, I think some of them could have been caused. I think it was probably time for some of these things to come out. So one of the big things is there's been a lot of issues about attire, about uniforms, about what athletes are wearing. Specifically, when it comes to the discrepancy between women and men.
Yeah.
What's expected of the women, what's allowed for the men.
Right.
So one of the biggest things was the Norway women's beach handball team.
Mm.
They wanted to wear shorts instead of bikini bottoms during a game and during their games, during their matches. They wanted to wear shorts instead of the bikini bottoms. And they were fined. I think it was $170 a piece for not following the uniforms. So the problem is that it just seems kind of archaic and very misogynistic and very like, are we in the 1950s Olympics or are we in the 1940s Olympics? It just seems very odd for this to be an issue because it shouldn't be. It should be something where athletes can wear what they want to wear. It's all based on performance. Now, a lot of the so let me go back to specifically this Norway team's handball uniforms. So I know that the big thing here was that people are assuming the Olympics are making them do this. Now, here's the problem. It wasn't them. It was the European Handball Federation. That's who oversees handball competitions. So I want to clear up the assumption that it's had something to do with the Olympic organizers. That's not who regulates it. It's the Federation for Handball, the European Handball Federation. So they fined each player. It was $177, about 150 euros. And then the great thing is, and I know this is offshoot of the story, but I just want to bring it up anyway, that Pink stepped up and decided to pay the fines for these athletes, for these female athletes. So here's the thing. Male handball, there's a male and female handball teams. It goes both genders. The male handball players are permitted to wear tank tops and shorts. Female players are required to wear midriff tops and bikini bottoms.
That ain't right.
And I guess that's where the issue comes in, that there's the discrepancy of the requirements by the European Handball Association.
That's not right.
Which I'm going to assume, and I should have looked this up, I'm going to assume this association is probably 10 old white guys. That's just my assumption.
Yeah.
Handball Federation is a bunch of old dudes because it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
So the Norwegian team is they'll pay the fine, and I told you Pink stepped up to pay those fines for them, which is great. But they're going to continue to fight for equality as far as what the uniform requirements is or are. The uniform requirements are.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing is they've received a ton of supports. So one of the team wrote, it's probably an individual making the post, but on behalf of the team, we are also very proud about making a statement in the bronze final by playing in shorts instead of the required bikini bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
We are overwhelmed by the attention and support from all over the world. Thank you so much to all the people who support us and help spread the message. We really hope this will result in a change of this nonsense rule.
You know, okay. So if I may, and I had stepped out for just a quick second.
Nope, you're good.
Why does it matter what they're wearing? Because they can compete wearing bikinis or shorts. Let them wear shorts.
Sure.
Because they feel better about themselves. They, It doesn't make sense.
And that's the whole thing that a lot of people have brought up. It doesn't make sense because for an athletic competition, why should you dictate what people should wear as long as they're comfortable? Now, there are some things I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take, if you're playing for a sports team,
mm-hmm.
you wear their uniform.
Right.
You know, the Tigers have the English D. Mm-hmm. That's what they wear.
Mm-hmm. Politicians.
They're required to wear that uniform.
Politicians should be wearing every sticker of a company.
Right.
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Not to get political. Go on.
Or a blue tie or a red tie, whatever the requirement is.
Or patch.
So that's different, though, because it's not a matter of it has to be a style. It's the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
This is just sexist. It really, yeah. I have to call it out for what it is.
Yeah.
So what is the purpose of bikini bottoms?
Mm-hmm.
If that was for, excuse me, if that's for performance,
that's not.
Then why wouldn't the men wear bikini bottoms? They could.
Make them.
I mean, men have worn Speedos in swimming.
Yeah.
And that's kind of changed.
Now they're wearing full body suits.
They're wearing full body suits. So it has nothing to do with performance.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do because they're women.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Here's the other thing that I want to rant on.
Okay.
So swimming, if anybody who's watched swimming in the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
they wear swim caps.
Yes.
You know.
Sometimes two or three.
Sometimes two to keep their goggles
mm-hmm.
on. So in July, the International Swimming Federation, which again, this is not the Olympics regulating this. This is the federation that the swimmers are under.
Okay.
Put a ban on sole cap. Now, sole cap, let me explain this. Sole cap is a cap specifically for African-American women because of their hair. It's larger so that it can better accommodate natural African-American hair.
Okay.
It was banned.
What?
They put a ban on Sole Cap, a black-owned company that creates larger swim caps that better accommodates and protects natural hair. Sole Cap's founders, Michael Chapman and Tox Ahmed mm-hmm. Salawit, oh boy, this is a tough one, Salawuddin,
okay,
spoke with BBC earlier this month on the ban, stating the federation rejected their product because to their best knowledge, the athletes competing at the international events never used, neither require to use caps of such size and configuration. So let me break that statement down. So pretty much they've never used it, so they don't need it now.
Okay, so, yeah. Oh my goodness. All right, so I have opinions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, I'm sure.
Okay,
yes.
So you're saying that everybody who is a swimmer that who is an African-American, they have to have hair that will fit inside a normal size cap?
Yes.
That's
yes.
bullshit.
They have to wear the normal cap. And I honestly, I'm going beyond. I mean, even if you're African American, you could have a hairstyle as a Caucasian that
you could have dreadlocks.
Yeah, I was going to say. Exactly. The whole point is that they won't allow. But I will say definitely it's a cultural thing. Mm. I'll say it the way it is. It's racist.
Yeah.
That there's a prejudice there based on race because they're not allowing that to exist.
Yeah.
So this is the other statement that this committee or that
the International
Swimming Federation said.
Okay.
They said that the ban is due to the sole cap not following, quote, the natural form of the head. What does that mean? That's what I mean.
What are you, homo?
Everybody's head is different shaped. How can they make that kind of a statement?
It's just silly. It's so backward thinking.
It is. And it makes no sense. It really doesn't. Because their arguments and their justifications, they don't make sense. So here's the founders of the Sole Cap. They said, for younger swimmers, feeling included and seeing yourself in a sport at a young age is crucial. FINA's recent dismissal could discourage many younger athletes from pursuing the sport as they progress through local, county, and national competitive swimming. Mm-hmm. So really what this is doing, by banning this, you could be eliminating potential Olympic athletes mm-hmm. that would be around 15 years, 20 years from now.
Correct.
It's just ridiculous. We're just crazy.
Such bullshit. Sorry for my language.
No, it is. Know, no, it is bullshit. It's total and complete bullshit.
I just don't understand why, if someone wants to have a different hairstyle, or, you know, if they want to have, you know, if they want to be able to wear a soul cap, let them wear a soul cap, for God's sakes. And let them compete. Let them have fun.
So let's go while I'm ranting, because these are bitches that there's no solution to yet. These are just things that have come up and need to be addressed, which who knows. So let's go to the Paralympics. So Paralympian Olivia Breen.
Okay.
Ahead of the Tokyo Summer Games, Paralympic athlete Olivia Breen spoke out against a female official at the English Championships who told her briefs were too short and inappropriate.
Wait. Too short?
Yes.
Your briefs were too short.
Too short. Now, instead of requiring them to wear bikini briefs, now she's saying, for this athlete, the briefs were too short.
What the? And it was a Paralympian.
Yes, a Paralympian.
Do you, which
sport? She is in...
If it says. Because
championships.
I really do enjoy, you know, watching folks... You know,
crap.
The shorts were too short.
The story doesn't. Here, I'm trying to find her sport.
And I apologize for throwing that at you.
Oh, no. Honestly, it doesn't. In the story, it doesn't say.
What was her name
Olivia
again?
Olivia Breen, Breen.
Let me look that up. So go on.
Yeah. Okay. So she recounted this interaction she had with the official. Mm hmm. The official said she was like, your briefs are too revealing. I think you should buy a pair of shorts. Breen said during an interview with Sky News on Tuesday. I didn't know what to say. I just looked speechless. And I just said to her, are you joking? And she said, no, I think you should consider buying a pair of shorts. I just looked at my teammate and I just didn't know what to say. The officials just shouldn't tell us what we can and can't wear. I've been wearing these for 9 years of my career and have never had a problem like this before. Breen also wrote about the incident on Twitter, speculating if the same criticism would be given to a male athlete. Hmm. And there's the issue there.
She's a long jumper.
Okay.
Olivia Breen is a long jumper.
Yep. Okay. Yep. In the Paralympics. Mm-hmm. So the whole point here is that there is definitely some... That there's a discrepancy, and I know, and this is my rant episode. People seem to think that women have gained equality when that's not the case. It's still not equal. It's still not on par between males and females. And these things show you that we're still way behind where we should be. Mm-hmm. One of the big things is that, and I'm saying this to Matt maybe before the episode started.
Her shorts are larger than what a bikini would be.
Yes, they are. They are. It's like a normal swimsuit bottom.
Yeah.
Yes. So here's the other thing. All of these females are getting all of these are too short for this Paralympic. The other ones are requiring them to wear bikinis instead of shorts. There are all these requirements for the females. And the one thing I noticed, and Kendra will back me on this, because we laugh about it every time we see it.
Right.
All of the track and field with the males, I don't know if it's something with track that they need to be comfortable, but I don't think any of them are wearing underpants. And to be perfectly blunt, you can just see their wangs right through their shorts.
You can see what religion
they
are.
The but it's like, wow, they don't have an issue with this, but they have to critique and require and put all these things on the women. It just doesn't make sense. So I don't have an answer for this. I'm ranting because you think we would have progressed as a society far enough now that these wouldn't be issues. However, they still exist.
They still do exist.
Unfortunately, it still exists.
You know, if I walked around a wedding reception,
Yeah.
And on the dance floor doing the Cupid Shuffle, and, you know, Mr. So-and-so is making an appearance. You know what? I would be asked to leave.
Of course you would. But they're showing it on television every night, and it's not, apparently it's not an issue. Mm. So anyway.
Yet.
That's my Olympic rant, as far as just we are still way behind in equality, and just, I don't know. Just my frustrations, folks. I deal with them just like you do. Hopefully we can move forward on a lot of these things and make some changes. That's what society is about. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Bring it.
So let me tell you, folks, what's coming up next episode. It is, hold on. I got it. How to deal with crisis. We're going to talk about that. I know I teased that an episode ago or two, but we got into the Olympic thing because it's timely right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to pull those up a little bit and put this one next. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So
we're going to talk about how to deal with crisis. That relates to stress, and it relates to a lot of things we've hit a little bit in the past. But, yeah, what do you do when crisis hits?
So
how can you cope?
Every Friday,
yep.
Facebook Live.
Every Friday, Facebook Live, 5 o'clock. We'll be here recording. You can mm-hmm. follow us.
Mm-hmm.
Do like Alan does. Alan Benson, my number one fan, jumps in every Friday night.
I'm your number one fan.
Listens to us, eats his tacos, has a good time. It's perfect. It's perfect.
That's great.
Yes.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
By the way, we did a man cave a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And we were talking about bourbons and what have you. Because that's what we do in the man cave.
Yeah.
There is actually a bourbon out there called Odin's Raven.
No way.
Yes way.
Oh, we have to get it.
Yes, we do. So we're going to do that. We're going to drink it here. Because we're going to do it on the man cave. We'll have you on.
Oh, please. I'd love to be there.
And it's called Odin's Raven. And we found it. We have to find somehow get it and have the distiller on the show, on the man cave with us, so we can talk about it and understand it and the history behind it as well.
Absolutely. I hope it comes from Anchorman.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the Ron Burgundy whole mantra,
yes,
and that's where it got its name from. It's called Odin's Raven because of Ron Burgundy. So,
yes,
Jamie and I are working on that angle. So,
oh no, yeah, let me know. I'm on. I'll do it. That's fantastic. In fact, I'm going to look for it. I'll look it up and order some.
We're going to try to get it from
the distiller. That's true. We'll taste it because I'll take before I order it. I might as well taste it with you guys.
Yeah, so we're working on that angle. So it should be fun.
So cool, folks. Have some Odin's Raven. Get a hold of it.
Oh. Great Odin's Raven.
In the meantime, people, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.